Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I want you to open your Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And the message that the Lord gave to me to give to you is called the power of His resurrection. The power of His resurrection. In Philippians 3, and I'll read it to you from the Amplified Translation because it so really brings to us the importance, how important the resurrection was and how important it is to know that resurrection power. You and I can live in a place of resurrection power all the time. And we need to tap into that today. We need to remind ourselves of that today, that Jesus was raised up and we've been raised up with Him. And that resurrection power is living on the inside of us. I believe that that resurrection power is working in you right now in the form of healing and miracles. You know, I'm so thankful for what we just saw in those testimonies. Those testimonies are so wonderful. The testimony about Blake in his eyes and how that little boy stuck his thumbs in his eyes and he was healed. And Hayden, what about Hayden? With Billy Burke. No ears at all, couldn't hear. And I'm just so grateful for the resurrection power of God. And then there's Jaden. Jaden, who was raised from the dead. They thought she was dead. And I'm so grateful for her father, who knew the authority of the believer and took his authority. And he was a tither. And he claimed tither's rights. And he rebuked the devourer. And Jaden came that far off high. She was literally raised from the dead. Raised up from the dead. That's resurrection life. That's resurrection power. That's the resurrection glory of God working on the inside of someone. She said, I'm just like Jesus. I was raised from the dead. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that glorious? Well, in Philippians 3:10 in the Amplified, this is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing something extremely important. He says, for my determined purpose is that I may know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly. Isn't that your prayer? Isn't that my prayer? Our determined purpose to know Him, become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from His resurrection, which it exerts over believers. Paul's determined purpose. His determined purpose. In one translation it says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. Say this after me. I want to know Christ.
I want to know Christ.
And the power.
And the power.
Of His resurrection. The New Living Translation says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. That was the most powerful force this earth has ever seen. There have been bombs that have been created that don't come near what Jesus did when He was raised from the dead. So our determined purpose should be the same as the Apostle Paul. That we want to know Him and to know the power of His resurrection. So how do we know Him and the power of His resurrection? Turn to Psalm 88. Psalm 88. First of all, we need to know that Jesus went to hell. It's something that many of us here know, but it needs to be said. And the revelation of it needs to be real to us. Many times people stop at the cross. But you've got to go beyond the cross. Thank God for the cross. But you have to go beyond the cross. Some people stop at the grave. But you can't stop at the grave. You've got to keep going. And you've got to keep going into the fact that Jesus went into the pit of hell for us. He went into the pit of hell for me. Say, Jesus went to the pit of hell
for me.
There are a number of scriptures. Time doesn't allow all the scriptures that prove this out. But this one scripture here in Psalm 88:6. You've thrown me into the lowest pit, into the darkest depths. Some of the translations said he was thrown into the pit of the underworld, the place of everlasting punishment and torment, and the destiny of the doomed. That's what hell is. That's what hell was. What happened to Jesus in hell? What took place there? Well, first of all, we need to know that all the hosts of hell were arrayed against him. All the powers, all the principalities, all of darkness was arrayed against him. They said, "We've got him now. We've got him. We finally got him. And we're about to take over." And he was struck down before his enemies. And what we need to know about what Jesus did, and there's so much that took place there. But he took upon himself the entire curse of the law, which includes spiritual death, poverty, lack, and debt, and sickness and disease. He took upon himself everything that the diabolical curse has to offer. Everything. Nothing was left out. He was afflicted. He was torn. He was ripped in his spirit. Everything, every possible thing that the devil could do was coming on Jesus in hell. And it was coming on him for us, for you and me. When you read Deuteronomy 28 and you read the blessing of Abraham, Jesus became a curse for us so that we could walk in the blessing of Abraham. And when you read Deuteronomy 28, the first 14 verses, and you see we've been blessed coming in, we've been blessed going out, we've been blessed in the city, blessed in the field. He's given us a surplus of prosperity. He's opened up the treasures of heaven to us, and it just goes on, and it's wonderful. But then you get on over into the curse of the law. And many people don't read the curse. But it's good for you to read the curse, because the curse is what you've been redeemed from. You can read down through that whole thing and see what you have been redeemed from. You can see everything that Jesus took upon himself. I just wrote down a few things here. I mean, Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 68 is a picture of Jesus in hell and everything he was taking for us. It's what happened to him. Pestilence, consumption, fever, inflammation, boils, tumors, scurvy, itch, a trembling heart, madness, blindness, the dismay of heart and mind, anxiety, worry, sorrow, sicknesses of long continuance. And in verse 61 of Deuteronomy 28, it says, every sickness and plague not written in the book of the law. That was in the curse of the law. How many sicknesses are there? Thousands. Thousands upon thousands. If you were to look up all the different categories of sicknesses, all the individual names of sicknesses, they just keep going and going and going and going. And even to this day, there are new sicknesses, or at least sicknesses that they hadn't known of before that were discovered. And we need to know that in Isaiah 53, Jesus bore them all. Say this after me. Jesus bore my sickness. And disease. By his stripes, I am healed. You name it, Jesus took it. Whatever it was. That is what was taking place. And that's why it's so important that to know the resurrection power of God, you need to know that. You need to know that after Jesus was buried, he went into the pit of hell. And he suffered there for you and me. You have to know that, and you have to understand that, and that he was taking upon himself every part of the curse so that we could live without the curse here on earth. We're not talking about just heaven. We're talking about being redeemed from everything of the curse of the law. Say, I am redeemed. From the curse of the law. Sickness. Lack. Debt. And death. I am redeemed from it. I'm delivered from it. So to know the power of his resurrection, Paul's determined purpose, I want to know that. Can you hear the passion in his voice? I want to know that. I want to know him, and I want to know the power, the power of his resurrection. We saw that resurrection life. I go back to that video of Hayden. I was standing right over there. I was watching it. It was at the end, towards the end of the service. You could kind of feel like the service was subsiding. But isn't it interesting that on the last night of the service, and how it just seems like something happens. He doesn't leave. We're getting a little tired, but he's right there. And there's always something. There's like the cherry on the top. There's always something that he does that just kind of slaps us awake. And here comes Hayden without any ears at all. Inner ears, but he had to wear that hearing aid. And I was standing there looking at that and watching a working of miracle. You know what that was? That was resurrection power being demonstrated. What is the working of miracles? It's the power of God. It's the resurrection power of God in demonstration. And we saw Billy Burke just pause for a moment and just go within hearing from the Lord. And then he took his hands, because you know, you and I are called to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. That's not just reserved for inside the church. That is something that belongs to us everywhere we go. To be able to pray over the sick and have that resurrection power shooting through us like lightning. So Billy Burke lays his hands on him. He goes over. Hayden goes over, gets back up. And I just hear that voice, and it just brings tears to my eyes, the goodness of God, that resurrection power working on the inside of him, and his voice saying, I can hear, I can hear, I can hear. We are in the days of miracles. Miracles are things that have not passed. But we're right in the days of miracles, and we need to press into the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But to do that, Paul's determined purpose, and really everything that is being preached here, it came by revelation of the Holy Spirit to him about what took place with Jesus in hell. The second thing we need to know is what he did in hell. What did he do in hell? In Colossians 2:15, turn over that. I want you to look at that. Colossians 2:15. We need to know what went on in there. We just saw that he went to hell. He took upon himself every sickness and every disease. But then there was a point in time when that is enough. Price paid. And this is what he did. In Colossians 2:15, the Amplified Translation. Having spoiled, disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public show, or a public display of them openly, triumphing over them in himself. He had victory over death, victory over every principality, every power. They were pushed back by the power of his resurrection. Had Satan only known. We talked about this last week. Had Satan only known what he was in for, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. It was a plan of redemption from the very beginning for God to get his man back into the family. And it was working. It was working. It was working. It was working through the prophets. There's one coming. There's one coming. And all along the way, Satan is destroying what he's thinking. That one's coming. That one's coming. That one's coming. And now he thinks he finally found the one, the Redeemer, the Messiah, and it's over. It's over for him, because he didn't realize what he was into. Jesus spoiled principalities. He disarmed them. He paralyzed them and made a public display of them openly, triumphing over them in himself. Give God a shout of praise. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Say, this is for me. I need to hear this. In Galatians 3:13, he became a curse for us. In Hebrews 2:9, he tasted death for us. In Hebrews 2:14, he destroyed the devil for us and delivered us from the fear of death. What was he doing in hell? He was conquering the devil. He was riding over him. When God shouted, "It is enough," eternal justice for the sin of mankind was served. It was done. Throughout eternity, the Supreme Court of the universe will have in its records Jesus' time in hell, Satan's defeat, and our legal redemption. It's on record. It's on record. He destroyed the forces of darkness in hell. He became Satan's master in hell. He conquered all the hosts of hell. He stripped Satan of his dominion and his authority. He paralyzed Satan's death-dealing abilities. My goodness, we could go on and on and on how much the devil lost. But he's a loser. And the Bible tells us he's coming to nothing. He's getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. You need to realize that. You need to know the victory that Jesus had in hell over that. And in Revelation 1:18, he says, "Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I live forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and the keys of death." He entered into hell, the spotless, sinless, sacrificial Lamb of God, and he was raised up, totally defeated, once and for all. Give God praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, our determined purpose is to know him and to know the power of his resurrection. That resurrection power. The resurrection power that brought Jaden back to life. The resurrection power was working on the inside of her when they were looking at their watch and thinking to themselves, "It's over. It's over. It ain't over. It ain't over." Amen. And that resurrection life raised her from the dead. And she was right. I'm just like Jesus. I'm just like Jesus. I'm raised from the dead. And this was some years ago, and now Jaden is a beautiful young woman, growing in the Lord, loving God with all of her heart, and seeing him like she'd never seen him before. Well, my determined purpose is to know him in the power of his resurrection. So I need to know, first of all, Jesus went to hell. He went to hell for me. Second, I need to know what he did in hell. He conquered the devil. He conquered the same devil that's trying to work in your life. He's already defeated. He's already defeated. Whatever it is, it's already defeated because Jesus conquered it. Thirdly, we need to know that we were raised up with Jesus. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We were raised up with him. And that's the thing that many people skip over. They even celebrate Jesus' resurrection, but they leave out the part that you and I were raised up with him. But this is the revelation that God gave the Apostle Paul. Paul's determined purpose was to know him and the power of that resurrection. And in the power of that resurrection, the Lord revealed to him and spoke to him and talked to him. And in Ephesians chapter 2, and verse, I'm going to start with verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy." Oh, we heard a great song today about mercy. "For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us, made us alive together with Christ." I like this amplified. It says, "In order to satisfy his great, wonderful, and intense love with which he loved us, we were made alive with Christ, made alive in fellowship and in union with him." See, that's the love of God. The resurrection is a demonstration of the ultimate love of God for us. It's the love that he has for you and me to raise his son up from the dead. And it says in verse 6, he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Amplified Bible translation, he's given us joint seating in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ. So we need to know that we were raised up with him. Say, I was raised up.
I was raised up.
I was raised up with Jesus.
I was raised up with Jesus.
He was not the only victor that day.
He was not the only victor that day.
No, he wasn't. He was not the only victor. Jesus' victory became our victory. The victory that Jesus had, it became your victory. It became my victory. We're walking in the victory. And it's as if we went to hell, but Jesus did it for us. He did it for you. And in Romans 8:29, it says he was the firstborn of many brethren. If you're born again, you're one of the brethren. Firstborn. He was the firstborn of many, many brethren. He raised us up together with him. Think about that. When he was raised, we were raised. We were raised up together with him and made to sit down together. That sitting down together is really referring to authority, dominion. You and I have been given dominion over the devil and his operations. And if we keep in mind that he is a defeated foe, then it's going to be a whole lot easier. When we keep in mind that we exercise our own authority over him, to be seated is to be in a place of authority. He gave us joint seating with him. The joint seating together with him in the heavenly sphere. It says in Romans 6:4, we're buried with him by baptism into death, like as if Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should walk in the newness of life. You know, when you're born again and you have revelation of what Jesus did for you, and you act like you were raised up with him, there's a glow about you. There's a shining that comes. There's a brightness that's on you. There's something different about you and something different working on the inside of you. When you have a revelation and an understanding that that resurrection power is living within, then you're going to experience what's called age reversal. Reversal. You just need to talk to yourself and just tell yourself, resurrection life is on the inside of me. If Jesus said, I'm the resurrection, I'm the life, then that life is on the inside of me. He's making life on the inside of me. That life is working on the inside of me. There was a man that worked for Kenneth Copeland Ministries many years ago. His name is Bob Henning. And Bob Henning was over the prayer department here at the ministry. Some of you might remember Bob. And I've been in communication for the last 6 or 7 years with his son, Bob Jr. And I know that often when Bob would contact me or call me, Dad is at death's door. He's about to go. He's about to leave. And then Dad will rally and come back. And this has been going on for quite some time. Well, Bob called me the other day. I saw that it was Bob Jr. And you know, for just a moment, everything goes slow motion. You're wondering if the next words that he's going to say is, Dad passed away. You know, sometimes you're kind of just waiting for people to pass. Not like you're, you understand what I'm saying. It's just, Cynthia Villaggio just got back. Your mother just went to heaven. Where are you, Cynthia? Are you out here? She was choir. Where is she, Joe? She's back there. You guys just came back from New York. Mom went to heaven. How old was Mom? 101. Almost 101. But Bob, getting back to Bob. What about Bob? So getting back to Bob. So all of a sudden, the time stops for me. I'm looking there. I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if this is it. I wonder if he's gone to heaven. And so Bob calls me, is evidently in the car. I can hear the car noise. And he just said, I just wanted to tell you about Dad. He said, he's sitting next to me and we've driven over the border from Canada and we're going to Washington for the day. He said, Bob made a massive turnaround. The doctor said he only had about a few hours left. He made a massive turnaround. He's sitting here, wants to say hi to you. Resurrection life! Resurrection life! And Bob was not speaking in any kind of frail or low George. No, Bob is from New England, as a matter of fact. And he said, hi, George. I thought, he's alive! He's alive! I remember one time years ago, we were at the Believers Convention, and Brother Copeland started talking about Bob Henning and how he was talking about Bob, and he talked about how he's in heaven now. And I'm sitting there at the convention, and the anointing came on me, and I shouted out loud, he's alive! He's alive! That resurrection life is working on the inside of him. There's an age reversal. You might be getting older by age, but on the inside, your youth is being renewed like the eagles. Woo! That's that resurrection life. That's that resurrection life. He's alive. I'm alive. You're alive! And you're getting more and more and more alive. Satan can't lord it over us anymore. He can't. We hold the keys or the authority of death, hell, and the grave. You and I do. Jesus delegated his authority and dominion over to us. And like I taught several weeks ago, we're talking about taking authority over your own body. Take authority over your body. Take dominion over your body. Command it to be well. Command it to be healed. Speak to your body. Command legs to come in Jesus' name. Whatever it is, you've been given that authority. It's been turned over to you. Matthew 28, 18, amplified. All authority. Oh, my goodness. All authority. That just hit me. All authority, all power of rule in heaven and on earth, Jesus said, has been given to me. He said, you take that authority, you go to the nations. That same, the keys have been handed over to us. My goodness, we can drive the car. Glory to God. We rise up. We take our place in Christ over sin, sickness, disease, fear, lack, and death. In 1 Corinthians 15, 54, death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your sting? Where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Thanks be to God, which has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, everybody. Praise God. My determined purpose is to know him. And to know the power of his resurrection, to experience the power of his resurrection. One last scripture. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Finally, we need to know that resurrection power is working in us. Resurrection power is working on the inside of you right now. I said resurrection power is working on the inside of you right now. And I can understand why Paul's determined purpose was to be to know that, because that is the greatest power for the deliverance of mankind that there is. There is no nuclear bomb. There is no hydrogen bomb. There is no kind of weapon that is any greater than the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to know that resurrection is dwelling on the inside of me. It's living on the inside of me. And this scripture, and in just a few moments, we're going to have a time of healing in this place, a time of the demonstration of the resurrection power of God. It says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. So let me ask you this question. The spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. How many of you know without a shadow of a doubt that spirit that raised him from the dead is living on the inside of you? Greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. So the understanding that the same spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Quicken. Quicken. Quicken means to be made alive. To be made alive. And when you look up the word quicken, it's the word zoe, the absolute life of God. Absolute life. Absolute life means the absence of anything else that has to do with death, corruption, corrosion of any kind. That zoe life, the absolute life of God, is living and dwelling and energizing us. That's what that resurrection power is. It's the absolute life of God. It was the life of God that raised Lazarus from the dead. That resurrection power, that resurrection life. And when you look and further study about that word, it means he keeps making life in our bodies. He keeps making life in your body. Life is continually being made in your body. It's the will of God for all of us, with every year that goes by, that we get stronger and stronger and not weaker. With every year that goes by, we demonstrate the resurrection power of God. With every decade, when you reach that new decade birthday, do not lament, do not cry, and do not weep over 40, but be thankful that you're stepping into a new anointing. Come on, a new anointing. Resurrection life on the inside of us. Pastor Terry and I had the opportunity to go to Jesse Duplantis' visionary conference. What a meeting that was. What a tremendous meeting. And I saw an anointing on Jesse that I've not quite seen before. It was strong. They did the music, and then before he would preach, he'd step out and he'd walk through the crowd and just had words for the Lord for this one, for that one, for the other one. Just ministering to people under an anointing that I've not seen before. And one of the last things that he said on the Friday night service was, on July the 9th, I turn 70. That's what Jesse said. I'm turning 70. And it hit me. That's the new anointing. See, when you get closer and closer to that crossover age into a new decade, it begins to build right before it. It starts happening. I saw it with Brother Copeland. I saw it the night that we had his big birthday party, and the anointing that was on him, we could see it getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And we crossed over into the 80th year. And now at 82, the man is stronger than I've ever seen him before. What is it? What is it? It's resurrection power. And the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that dwells on the inside of me, is making alive my mortal flesh. The power of his resurrection is the power to be healed. It's not only the power to be healed, it's the power to heal. It's the power to heal. And understand me what I'm saying, that Jesus is the healer, but he works through us. Duh. He works through you and me. So that power can flow through us into the bodies of others. I want you to stand to your feet right now, and we're going to make a declaration this morning. Musicians, come on up here. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we've looked at the Apostle Paul this morning. His determined purpose is to know you. Our determined purpose is to know you, Lord, to know you intimately. To see you, to understand you, to have a deeper relationship with you. And he said to know the power of his resurrection. To know, to have intimate knowledge of and experience with the resurrection life of God. So Father, by faith right now, we make this declaration together. Say this after me. It is my determined purpose to know Jesus. And the power of his resurrection. Jesus died for me. Jesus was buried for me. Jesus went to hell for me. Jesus took the curse for me. He conquered the host of hell for me. He took the keys of death. From spiritual death. I am free from poverty. poverty, lack, and debt.
I am free
from every sickness and every disease. In the name above every name, the conquering name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
All right, give God praise, everyone.